Welcome to Managed Care Cast, a podcast from the American Journal of Managed Care.
My name is Maggie Shaw, senior editor with AJMC. To help celebrate and recognize National Minority Health Month, we are bringing you a special month-long podcast series with our strategic alliance partner, UPMC Health Plan. Welcome to our final episode and our conversation with Janine Jelks-Seal. Passionate about advancing equity in healthcare, Janine uses her prior experience as an R&D specialist and her knowledge of economic development to advance both short and long-term goals in her role as Director of Health Equity at UPMC Health Plan, a position she has held since March of 2023. We discuss the vital importance of developing and implementing strategies to overcome health disparities and promote health inclusion. As an example, in December, UPMC Health Plan launched its LGBTQIA+ Affirming Provider designation within its online provider directory, and how an intersectional approach that considers both member characteristics and geography can go a long way toward identifying populations who may be at higher risk for adverse outcomes from social determinants of health.
Welcome to another episode of Managed Care Cast and the final podcast in our series to celebrate National Minority Health Month with our strategic alliance partner, UPMC Health Plan. Today, we are speaking with Janine Jelks-Seal, Director of Health Equity at UPMC Health Plan. Janine, thank you so much for joining us today. To start, we would love for you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you so much for having me. As mentioned, I am the UPMC Health Plan Director of Health Equity, and I've been in this role for about a year. Over the course of my career, I've worked in and with many organizations of different types and sizes across public, private, nonprofit sectors. I'm really passionate about this work. Earlier in my career, I moonlighted in topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion through volunteering with company committees and employee resource groups and working with community-based organizations. Since then, I've had the privilege of advancing equity as my core role and responsibility in a role such as this.
As Director of Health Equity at UPMC Health Plan, please tell us all about your role and your short and long-term goals.
Thank you. Well, I work with an organization that is on the cutting edge of a large-scale system effort to address legacy issues in health equity and health disparity. My role considers all members across a full range of group health insurance products, including Medicare, special needs, CHIP, medical assistance, behavioral health, employee assistance, workers' compensation products, and we have more than 4 million members, including members who are our own employees. I, in my role, join forces with UPMC senior leaders to develop and implement clinically and geographically based strategies and initiatives to reduce health disparities and advance health equity. One of my short-term goals has been to do a lot of listening. I want to learn to appreciate where the organization is on its health equity journey, to learn about existing programs and initiatives, to learn about what's working, what's not working, and to understand requirements. Also, I like to, in my role, learn about what's on my colleagues' wish list and community's wish list with the hope of adding that into the strategies that we exert. And when I joined the health plan, there were already a lot of health equity happenings across the organization, a lot of initiatives and many accomplishments to advance health equity. And over the course of the last year, I've learned probably most about the initiatives. I'm still learning. But very soon into the role, I appreciated that another short-term goal was to share our health equity story. So that's included a lot of working with my colleagues to bring awareness to the health equity story and activities that are taking place internally to our colleagues and our employees, and doing external engagements to share our health equity story and engagements such as this podcast. I would say another goal is to establish what I call infrastructure, and that's the necessary kind of resources to support advancing health equity and infrastructure over time. And that could be thinking about what data we need, what ways of working, what frameworks, best practices, what shared goals should we have to work as an organization. And in that communication, really working to have colleagues contextualize their work to relate how what they're doing operationally and clinically really do work towards advancing health equity for the organization. And long range, you asked about my long range goal for the organization, is that the health plan, the UPMC health plan, is really ahead of the curve, that we're really a model for how a health plan and how an integrated delivery and financing system can really advance health equity and improve the lives of its members and patients.
You also have experience with R&D at General Mills and focused on economic development while pursuing your Master of Science in Public Policy and Management from Carnegie Mellon. How does the knowledge you gained through those experiences translate to success in the health equity space?
Yes, a very unlikely background and a windy road to my role here. Well, I think my time as an R&D engineer for a consumer packaged goods company really instilled in me a practice of putting consumers at the heart of the work and proactively seeking to learn what consumers value and what they don't value as much. And then working for an organization that's deeply interested in the consumer experience introduced ways in which organizations can learn about the consumer experience and what they value. So while working as an R&D engineer, engage in focus groups, to in-home visits, to survey work, to appreciating even consumer complaint data, to learn what people really didn't like about their Chex Mix or what they really loved about their Chex Mix. It's all really helpful information. You talk about my studies in public policy. My studies in policy and interest in community and economic development, along with my time developing consumer products, I think have really solidified two things that I've brought to this work in health equity. One, that there are trade-offs, and it's important to not just consider one feature or aspect or a product or service when presenting a product or service to a group of consumers or community members. It's really important to offer the total product offering with those trade-offs included and let consumers and let communities evaluate the whole picture. That for me was really exemplified in a baking example where if you just independently ask someone how many chocolate chips they want in their chocolate chip cookies, and yes, companies are thinking about this, what's the optimal number of chocolate chips in a chocolate chip cookie? You know, people who love chocolate chip cookies with chocolate chips would say, yes, give me more chocolate, give me more chocolate. But then if you were to say, or that more chocolate, we have a higher priced product, then I think consumers will say, well, let's back off on the chocolate a little bit and maybe have a lower price. So I think really appreciating the full product offering and the trade-offs that have to be made and considering what that means in any space, whether it be a new community project, or I think our benefit design, product design folks are thinking about this around premiums versus other benefits, what are the trade-offs? I think the second thing that those two past experiences of working in CPG, consumer packaged goods, as well as my interest in activities in public policy and community economic development is just really appreciating the diversity of stakeholders required to do the work. I think our UPMC Center for Social Impact really embodies this really well. At the health plan, we're engaged with our health plan members, with colleagues across functions and within our insurance services division and colleagues throughout the broader UPMC and health services and academics and community-based organization and our state agencies all working together to explore new ways of working, to pilot ideas, to use funding differently. And so I think General Mills in particular taught me about working across functional areas within a company. I do that a lot in my role within health equity, working with Department of Health Economics and other analytics organizations and network and different lines of business. But I think working in communities has really taught me the most about working across sectors. And so in this work as well, as I mentioned, I'm working with nonprofit organizations and government and for-profit and the foundation community to identify those shared goals and to work together to achieve those things. So yes, a very windy path to my now here in health equity, but very excited about it and have found that it's really been the diversity of my experiences that come to life every day in the work, and I enjoy it so much.
Now, in December, UPMC Health Plan also launched its LGBTQIA+ affirming provider designation within its online provider directory at a time when tensions seem to be escalating around equal and equitable care access for sexual and gender minority individuals. Can you talk about why this initiative is so important both right now and moving forward?
Thank you so much for highlighting that as an example. First, I'll say in this work, I think the question I probably get to or receive or experience most frequently is, wait a second, how are you defining health equity? And then, you know, we talk about that as everyone having a fair and just opportunity to attain their highest level of health. I think the kind of second question, particularly someone who has a background outside of healthcare and is really seeking to understand specifically what can a health insurance company do to advance health equity, come across the question of, well, what can a health insurance company do? What are the tools in our toolbox? And what I like about this example that you've highlighted, this is an example of what our network part of our organization can do to advance health equity, of course, in collaboration with other functional areas. Specifically to the question, we know that some of our LGBTQIA members have or have not in the past been welcomed, been seen, been heard. And we know that those lived experiences can really create a barrier to accessing healthcare. And so our LGBTQIA affirming provider designation can help those who identify as being a part of the community make it easier for members to find providers who can communicate and validate the LGBTQIA patient experience and create a safe and welcoming patient-provider relationship. And our providers attest to this. In order to obtain the special designation, providers must complete and receive training education. And this designation is voluntary, so I think that speaks volumes. Why this is important? I think that this initiative is important because it recognizes that we have members that have had negative and sometimes harmful past experiences navigating the healthcare system and connecting with providers. We know that this experience, again, has barriers, and so we're being responsive to that. It also demonstrates that there are ways a health insurance company can support and drive health equity. And as I mentioned, this is the way through our provider function within our organization. I think it's important because it demonstrates that we have and are actively listening to our LGBTQI members who have, and we are being intentional to address concerns and the pain points that they've expressed. I think it's also important because the LGBTQIA affirming provider designation is unique amongst health plans, and it gives us at UPMC Health Plan an opportunity to share why it's such an important initiative to us. Gives us the opportunity to share how we're operationalizing health equity that's important to the LGBTQIA plus community in this way and in other ways. And it's a literal signal that we care and that we believe everyone has that right and fair just opportunity to achieve their highest level of health. Thank you for the question.
You also recently participated in a discussion regarding the Pittsburgh Inequality Across Gender and Race Report, which was released way back in 2019. For those who may not be aware of this report, can you tell us more about it and the research behind it? And why the findings are so important in the context of health equity, especially for Black women?
Yes. Well, the city of Pittsburgh prioritized and prioritizing ensuring that Pittsburgh is a livable city of all for all residents. You know, the city of Pittsburgh has been on a number of lists saying best place to live. And I think there's kind of unfortunately two worlds within Pittsburgh. There are two Pittsburgh. And so this rally cry of a livable city for all is very meaningful. The city of Pittsburgh's Gender Equity Commission commissioned research to evaluate Pittsburgh's livability across gender and race. And specifically, the report examined health, income, employment, and education indicators for six subpopulations in Pittsburgh, namely white women, white men, Black women, Black men, and a group of multiracial Latinx and other Native American, both men and women. The report was completed, and the research was completed by a research team for the University of Pittsburgh. And I think what was notable about the approach that the report took was that it created an index which compared Pittsburgh to other cities of kind of like size and like nature. You know, key findings, the report reflected broader national trends which show gender and racial inequity persisting across health, income, employment, and education in Pittsburgh. So, okay, we're doing Pittsburgh represents many cities across the country. But I think the findings of the report were particularly important in a few ways. One, for some, the report was eye-opening. These individuals were not aware of the disparities that existed within the city of Pittsburgh. Some persons who were new to this information learned of the disparities at the time, were individuals who held significant leadership and influential roles within the greater Pittsburgh region. And so I think the findings of the report was a call to action for leaders and local organizations. organizations. I think a second reason why the report was important is for others, particularly of us, those in the Black community who are experiencing these disparate outcomes, and or we're experiencing it, our family members, our communities are experiencing these negative outcomes. For us, this was not news. This is what the community has been saying all along. And if anything, it was saying what people for a long time have been expressing, but maybe didn't have that moment of validation of saying yes. And it's sometimes unfortunate that we need a research team and kind of subject matter experts to affirm what those who are also experts and are living that experience are saying. So I think there was a greater awareness as en masse for city of Pittsburgh stakeholders to really appreciate the challenges that the city was facing. I think another way that this report was particularly important was Pittsburgh was special in that, and this is in a way that you don't want to be special, in that holding all things equal to comparison cities, the economic status of an individual, the educational attainment, that Black people were faring poorer than in other cities. One kind of colloquial way that that's been summarized is that if a Black woman in the city of Pittsburgh just picked herself up and move to another city, that move alone would lead to better health outcomes. All else being equal, economic status, educational attainment, that if she just moved to a different environment. So unfortunately, there's just something about Pittsburgh, and I mentioned that experience with General Mills. I worked in Minnesota. They have kind of a similar experience. They allude to it as the Minnesota paradox. There's some paradox about how one population is just not quite having the live, experiencing the great livability and the quality of life that others are. And there's something uniquely different about Southwestern Pennsylvania and the city of Pittsburgh. I use the example of Black women, and it's part of your question, because I think the last key feature and important point to highlight about the report is the intersectional approach that the researchers took. They considered the implications of the intersection of race and gender. And this is an important point because organizations that hopefully are taking a look at their data tend to stratify by a single member characteristic. They may examine a population by race and say, okay, what are we finding? And then they might look at gender and then say, okay, what are we finding? That I think when you keep these analyses separate, you're missing something. And so to take an intersectional approach is very important. You may in particular identify that for a subpopulation that may have more than one kind of meaningful identity that we see difference in outcomes, that the disparities are even greater. So whether it's the intersection of race and gender or disability status, or whether you're part of the LGBTQIA community, that we really need to appreciate the diversity and the layered and kind of lived experience that individuals have and start to have our analyses reflect that fact. In health equity, it's imperative that we're examining these topics in the report. You know, we're equipping ourselves with the quality data to facilitate stratification by members, hopefully by member characteristics. Hopefully we're using the data. So we're not only collecting and maintaining the data, hopefully maintaining quality data, that we're actually utilizing the data to identify disparities, that we're considering factors such as geography and the extent to which that factor yields different outcomes. So in the city of Pittsburgh's report, it was about Pittsburgh compared to other cities, but we at the health plan have 4 million members who live in very different settings. And so whether they're in a rural context or a suburban context or an urban context, these are all really important factors when we're talking about health equity, considering race and ethnicity and gender, taking that intersectional approach, and hopefully that these analyses that we do, much in the way that the Pittsburgh's gender and race report did, hopefully it's a call to action and it's leading to action. The report did offer policy recommendations. And so I think what's an important takeaway is, okay, we have this awareness, we have data, perhaps that provides us with a baseline, but what are we gonna do about it? And I'm really calling back on my policy side of self that communities, individuals, we want to see change and that change be sustained. In one key way is that organizations and communities change the policies and practices that are informed by the lived experience and the data, both qualitative and quantitative, that we work with.
I do agree with you wholeheartedly that you need a well-rounded picture if you want an effective solution and if you want to make lasting change. You can't just focus on one part, one person, one race, one gender. You need to know about everything. And if you focus on one facet, you're going to be completely siloed. And then what good is that, you know?
You talked about some of the work in my role and what are the goals. Part of that I alluded to as building the infrastructure. So a team might be interested in taking a very intersectional approach, but for example, the tools that they're working with may not have that functionality. You may only be able to kind of have that radio button and select one. So I think that that's part of it. It's thinking about if these are our intentions and these are the ways in which we need to work to achieve the goals that we seek, what are the tools and how are the tools designed? What are the practices and how are the practices designed to really support doing that important work in an important way?
Well, that was the last question I had. Is there any message you would like to leave our audience with?
Oh, great. I think, really, as I said at the top of the interview, so frequently I run into the question of, well, what can a health insurance company do? And I think frequent conversations are centered on population health management, which I think is really important and is a key tool in the toolbox. But I think I would really encourage those to consider the ways in which their role, their teams, their parts of the organization can be supportive and really drive health equity in the work that they're doing, and that there's always a role that can be played, whether it's offering information, whether it's collaborating, and whether it's executing and working on a kind of diverse of thought, diverse of business practice team to get it done. So the call to action and just so something I would leave with listeners is to think about the ways in which their work can help advance health equity.
Thank you so much. I think this interview will be the perfect close to the podcast series for this month. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Such a privilege. Happy National Minority Health Month.
For all of us at AJMC, thanks for listening. To learn more about these programs, visit ajmc.com or see the show notes. To get in touch with us, email info@ajmc.com, follow us on X at @AJMC_journal, or connect with us on LinkedIn at AJMC-The American Journal of Managed Care. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and rate us.